And a lot of people think that this journey is about feeling better. No, it's about being able to feel more. Because how often do we sit there when we experience fear or anger or sadness or shame or guilt, right? What some people might call a low vibration, which doesn't exist. In my world, it doesn't exist, because to assume it's a low vibration is to judge it as something other than optimal. That is what another form, you know, in a love and light kind of way, calling it a bad or wrong emotion. It doesn't exist. They are just simply emotions that we experience that open up the opportunities for us to experience our humanity. That's it. And what is it to be human if we don't allow ourselves to feel the vast spectrum of our God-given abilities?
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one. And it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. Today's guest is one of the realest and most authentic men I have ever met. He's used his drug abuse, suicidal thoughts, and deep darkness for such good as he leads, helps, and guides so many others. Nathan Kollerman is a speaker, coach, entrepreneur, and author. He will teach you how to turn your darkness into your dharma as you find the love within the pain. Like he did for me, he will help you love the parts of yourself that you hate. During the episode, he talks about how there's no such thing as a bad emotion. I cannot even tell you how much I needed this from Nate. Your emotions are just information for you. It's a pathway, it's a bridge, it's an invitation. Nate also shares his perspective on how to regulate your emotions. It's commonly thought to mean you're always in a state of peace. He believes it's being able to regulate the chaotic states back to a state of awareness so you can make more sound decisions. And definitely check out his book. It is a best-selling book, Between Two Worlds, an atlas to navigate the complexities between the spiritual and material worlds. Nate, so excited for you to be here. I love you, man. I've missed you over the past couple months since the retreat, and just super grateful and happy and excited for you to be in the podcast, buddy. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, Jay. Man, I appreciate you, bro. It's so good to be here. Excited to spread some love up in here.
Yeah, so me and Nate, we have to chat about the profound experience that I had during the retreat with you. So me and Nate met at a retreat not too long ago. They had like a little bit of a conversation, but then you have to explain this to me because I don't know exactly what this was, but what was the breath work that you led us on? It was like the second day that we got there. It was like at night, we were going to have dinner, remember, but we didn't, we postponed dinner a little bit to do your breath work. you were in the front chanting and guiding us through this breath work. There were like four different phases of it. I don't remember exactly, but you opened me up in a way that I never knew possible. And I knew that was never down in me. You brought things out of me that I didn't know was there. I can't, you know, give enough thanks for that sort of an experience. Right before we did the breath work, I was talking to one of our beautiful friends there, Keely, and she was talking about her father, and I was there listening to her, just being supportive of her. And the idea of like not judging him came into place. And I thought I was just being this beautiful soul for her. And then I go into this breath work with you, and I don't know where it came from, but I had the realization that I've been judging myself, hating myself, and resenting myself for a specific part of me having a temper for my entire life. It was always something I hated about me. I ran away from. It was like this icky, terrible part of me that people didn't like about me either. And during this breath work, I cried and wept and bawled like I haven't in a very, very long time. And the reason why was because I started to release that resentment. I started to first acknowledge that it was even there, and then start to release that resentment and that hatred I had towards myself for 37 years of my existence here. I'm gonna start to break things up, start to move it. Because, you know, like having a temper, it's like, of course I'm supposed to hate that part of me. Of course I'm not supposed to like having this. That was just so ingrained in my logic and idea that I didn't even realize that I was hating myself. And that breath work really, that was like the first really, truly big step in my healing for the temper that I've had. So I just want to thank you for that. I know we connected on that a little bit, but dude, that like stays with me. Like you're being there with you, and that experience has really, really stayed with me and meant so, so much.
Man, thanks for sharing that. I mean, dude, breath work is phenomenal for stuff like that. I mean, I remember seeing you in your process too. And I sat with you. I don't know if you remember or felt that. And I just kind of sat with you while you were moving through that. And I saw you going through that navigation. And it was really, really powerful to witness, right? Just to observe it. And to see how gentle you were with yourself as you navigated it. Man, that was really special. Right? Because we think that we have to like meet the things we resent with the same type of energy. Right? Whereas you, being the human that you are, you're like, no, that's not really who I am. It's what I experience. And because of that, I can approach this from who I really am or who I really want to be. And we were just talking about authenticity before we came onto here. And you approached it with such an authentic and compassionate, loving part of yourself, where the breath work was just the thing that created the space for you to do it, right? It wasn't the breath work, it was you in the breath work, right? And these transformational sessions, right? Which I blend a little bit of somatic breath work into it with a little bit of shamanic work that I've done when I've sat with different medicines and different cultures and tribes, and the work that I've done with people and just how to encourage and inspire change, just kind of bringing all that into the mix was a really special experience to bring to a group that I didn't know was ready for it. Right? You know, and those are my darkness to Dharma sessions, right? To take you into the darkness, to find the Dharma, to find the gift, to find the love within the pain. And man, I just appreciate you sharing that and hoping that whoever's listening knows that there are things out there, you know, that can really help you heal in a profound way without having to call it healing. Healing is the byproduct of the experience of you witnessing yourself and coming closer to your authenticity.
Like just through that experience, you helped me realize that I don't need to hate this version of myself. I can decide in moments that's not how I want to show up, but I don't need to judge it. And I can't express enough, man. I need something you have stuck down deep in you that I didn't, again, know that was there for my entire life. And through some breath work. And I didn't even go in with an intention. I don't even know where it came from. It just started to happen. My mind just went there. And that really started to start to open it up, because I thought with my temper, I quote unquote figured it out. And I'd realized in my journey through spirituality, I've been able to change my thought towards certain things, right? So in moments where before I would have gotten a temper, I didn't anymore because I looked at it differently. I'm realizing that I was just kind of throwing like a blanket over it and being like, shh, just like go away for now. Like you're not here. That's cool. Go away. Mm. But in realizing as time goes on, there are going to be things in life that are going to spark that same emotion within me. Right. So just because it went dormant for a little while because I was able to change my thoughts towards things doesn't mean that a situation isn't going to arise that I'm not going to be able to change my thoughts so quickly, or that it's still going to hit me or create this emotion within me. And then it's through experiences like that that I had the clarity, and the beautiful clarity that I didn't quote unquote figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I needed that clarity so that I could work more towards it. Because if I'm thinking this thing's done, cool, I did it already, but it's still just sitting dormant in me and just dark and deep within me, it's always going to show its face. It's always going to rear its head in a way that I would prefer not to come up. So mm-hmm. And even knowing and acknowledging that this is still there, that's like the first step, the awareness, right? Of taking that step towards healing. And dude, I don't know, man, you just come through too. I don't know, like it was like your voice there, it was like the energy behind your voice. You come through with a very masculine voice, like a really beautiful masculinity you come forth with. It's like masculinity in the sense that I'm here and I'm fucking strong, but I'm also here to love and support you. You have a great balance in that, man. That's like something, as I'm saying it right now, I realize another aspect of you that I love so much is that you have that beautiful, beautiful balance of the darkness and the hardness and the toughness. And then also right there balanced with it is the love and the support and the care and the empathy.
Mm. I appreciate you seeing that, man. I mean, we live in a world right now where the extremes are being thrown left and right, right? Especially on like social media, right? These like models of comparison, these, you know, models of influence that are just not sustainable, man. You know, and, you know, the first thing I want to say before I even get into that, because that's going to be an interesting conversation for me and you to have, I'm curious to what you think as well, you know, but first and foremost, like, thank you for owning the fact that you thought you had it figured out. And then recognizing like, no, I actually didn't, right? Because how many people in the world, how many people out there are doing that right now? I mean, hell, I did that with 14 years of addiction, right? I was like, oh, I've been clean from heroin for 14 years. So guess what that means? The justification and the automatic thought is everything underneath the severity of heroin is free game, right? I can still drink. I can still smoke weed. I can still do blow occasionally. I can still do MDMA and mushrooms and LSD and act like it's not affecting me. But that's not the truth, right? The truth is that this thing will probably always be a part of me. And I can't continue to put myself in the environments around those people in those situations that will lead me down the path of death and destruction. I recently had to come to terms with that too. For the first time in my life, consciously choosing sobriety from all substances, all of them, right? Unless it's tobacco for prayer or caffeine to get my ass up out of bed. and with that comes the grace, right? It's like the grace that this thing is a part of me, but it doesn't have to be me. I don't have to choose that every day. I don't have to choose the aggression. I don't have to choose the frustration. I don't have to choose the resentment, right? Everything comes down to awareness and choice, man. And with that awareness and with that feeling that you experienced, right, it opens up the door to a plethora of new choices. And that's the beauty of being human, man, right? It's like I can feel all these things I hate to feel, yet still I can find myself coming back to love every single time. Like, let that land. And that's what I talk about a lot is, man, that balance between that darkness and that roughness and that rigidity and that toughness, because I mean, hell, I was a mixed martial artist since the age of 5, right? I was in gangs in the military. That is always going to be a part of me. That part kept me alive my entire life. And if I were to just get rid of that thing and just, you know, go all love and light and no, I'm a pacifist and no, I can't do damage to anyone or anything, then what happens when someone attacks my family? What happens when someone in the street threatens someone I love, right? Would it not be an act of love to defend them and protect them with that toughness and rigidity, even though it might have to come forth in the form of violence? Because my truth, which is also just an opinion and a perspective, is that love and truth don't come with soft hands all the time. They come with iron fists, right? I've never been hit with truth and like, oh yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, that was so gentle and nourishing, you know, to feel that truth. No, most truth I experience, I don't know about you, that shit hurts, man. It's like somebody just roundhoused me in the rib cage and threw an uppercut at my jaw and said, sit down, little boy. Like, see the truth, feel the truth. Cause man, I don't know about you, but people like me, man, I got to learn the hard way and a lot of the time. And because that's partly because I'm a stubborn fucking person. Right? I'm a really stubborn person and I want to make it my way a lot of the times. And God reminds me every step of the way, you can't do that. And it's the progressive evolutionary process of me, man. And that's where the grace comes in, right? So yes, that's the part of me. And every day I get the opportunity, I get the choice, I get the chance, I get the opportunity to come back to love, to become a more authentic version of me for who I am today, not the version of me that I was yesterday or the part of me that I think I need to be to show up for all the people I serve. Because that in itself is inauthentic, right? And it's a conundrum, right? Welcome to the paradox of life, people.
I love the idea of I really like appreciating and honoring coming back to love, because so many times I'll judge myself for not acting the way of how I think love would have showed up, right? Or how my highest self should have showed up. But I rarely will then look at and honor myself for coming back to love. So thank you for that clarity. And anyone out there listening right now, I know we all get caught up in life and we get taken away in moments, but really, yes, changing that and shifting that to honoring and loving ourselves when we do come back to love.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the first thing that comes to mind too, and maybe this might be supportive for some people, you know, because that's where my mind goes when I'm having these great conversations. It's like, man, what is that person on the other side going through? And the thing that's most alive that I've been having conversations around is like the courage it takes to come back to love after heartbreak, right? Like how many people have run away from love or run away from a relationship or run away from something that could have been great because they're afraid of the pain. And would it not be an act of courage to say, hey, I see that and I honor my pain and I'm still choosing to put my heart out there for the sake of love? Right? Is that not an act of courage? Is that not a noble choice to be hurt, to be abused, to be neglected, abandoned, and still choose to show up for something that we don't even know exists and how it looks or was never taught how it was supposed to be, quote unquote? Right? Is it not an act of courage to walk blindly through the dark, not knowing if there's monsters in the jungle? That's what we were doing. There were jaguars out there, bro. And we were just walking around the jungle, just a bunch of entrepreneurs in Mexico, just thinking, yeah, we're fine. Right? That was an act of courage. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, one of the very powerful things, and I wrote this down. So I took out my notebook from the retreat and I went to your page. This, again, you helped me in that healing of releasing that resentment and hatred towards myself. And one of the things that you said that really, really stuck with me is there's no such thing as a bad emotion. And I can't even tell you how much I needed that.
because for my whole life, I thought this emotion that I called temper was the worst thing in the world and that it was terrible and bad. And through your breath work, through our time there, through your speech, it helped me to see that, to actually start to see that, honestly, because I never saw it before. So I'd love just more of your perspective on that. How is there no such thing as a bad emotion? How can we leverage the things that we term bad emotions? How can we leverage that for good?
Absolutely. And I'm pulling up in my book because in there I have the Atlas for Emotional Agility, right? And I'll speak to that in 1 second. I'm going to read directly from my book because I've already put it into words and I think it'd be highly valuable because I still don't even know how I came up with those words. It was God flowing through me, right? So when there's no such thing as a wrong emotion, I first heard that from Alan Watts. And Alan Watts, if you don't know who he is, look him up, right? He was a great philosopher. And when I first heard that, I remember I was in such a dark place, right? I was going through a breakup. I was being a little bit more promiscuous. I was just angry at the world. And what did I do, right? As a man who was in pain, right? I outsourced a lot of my comfort to women and substance. I was using hape rape. I wasn't using any hard drugs or drinking a lot then. So I was using hape like 3 times a day. I was like going out like once a month and, you know, using MDMA. And I was microdosing LSD and I was microdosing mushrooms and I was just trying to feel something other than who I am, right? And a lot of people think that this journey is about feeling better. No, it's about being able to feel more. Because how often do we sit there when we experience fear or anger or sadness or shame or guilt, right? What some people might call a low vibration, which doesn't exist. In my world, it doesn't exist because to assume it's a low vibration is to judge it as something other than optimal. That is what another form, you know, in a love and light kind of way, calling it a bad or wrong emotion. It doesn't exist. They are just simply emotions that we experience that open up the opportunities for us to experience our humanity. That's it. And what is it to be human if we don't allow ourselves to feel the vast spectrum of our God-given abilities, right? By not honoring our emotions, by not honoring our humanity, we're in essence slapping God in the face and saying, no, you did a bad job. Take these things away from me. Take me away from being human. Okay, go be a rock then. Go be a rock that feels nothing, that just sits still in the storm, that holds nothing but space for the world as it passes by them. Go be the stone. I don't know anyone who would be like, yeah, I'd rather be a rock. I've met no human that said, yeah, next life, I want to be a rock. When I do a past life regression as a rock, I'll remember this moment. the second thing I'll say on that is the concept of regulation. Right? Because with emotional agility, there's emotional regulation, nervous system regulation. It's a hot topic right now. You know, everybody's talking about regulate your nervous system. And they think that this concept of regulating your nervous system means to always be in a state of peace, but it's not. It's being able to regulate the chaotic states back to a state of awareness so you can make more sound decisions and know how to command your emotions, not for reasons to harm self or others, but to shift it into a place where you are able to make more optimal decisions and create more optimal results to be a more optimal, authentic version of yourself at all times, right? Because emotional agility is the ability to command our emotions at any given moment without hesitation or contemplation. Right in my book. And you know, what I want to share in these, there's no such thing as a wrong emotion. There are what we call gateway emotions, which is the initial event that we become activated, right? We have joy. We have sadness, anger, fear, surprise, and guilt, and grief, right? Guilt, shame, and grief. Those are all kind of in a category there. And then we have what are called matured or more optimal states, right? Emotional states, right? That's where we have peace, gratitude, willpower, confidence, wonder, and love. And when we do not honor those gateways, right? Those initial activating events, when we don't honor joy, sadness, anger, fear, surprise, and grief, what happens is that we move into a place of delusion, depression, rage, terror, shock, and shame. Right? So if you imagine those six events in one vertical line, and to the left, you see what happens when they go unprocessed. And in the right, you see what happens when we are able to regulate and optimize the way we respond to them. It's completely different. So when joy is unprocessed, it moves into delusion. When it's processed fully, we move into peace. When we experience sadness and it goes unresolved, it turns into depression. And when we channel it more optimally, it moves into gratitude. To be grateful for our pain, to be grateful for the thing that we're sad from, right? When we're angry, finding a place where instead of going to rage, which is unprocessed anger, which is just buried deep down in the liver, we can actually find something to be mad about to summon the willpower to do something about it. When we have fear unprocessed, we live a life that is filled with terror. We just run away from everything. We run away from love. We run away from people. We run away from the potential threat that our brain, our limbic system thinks is a saber-toothed tiger, but it's just somebody trying to give us a hug. But instead, would it not be an act of courage and to have an optimal state of confidence that no matter what fear comes into my contact, that I can confidently, courageously face it? It's what some people would call grit. And when we're surprised, right? When you're just surprised all the time, like you live in a state of shock. But when you don't see surprise through the curious lens, and when you're able to optimize that experience of surprise, you come into a place of wonder and curiosity and awe of the world and what the mystery has to place in front of you. And that's where we receive God's gifts, in my opinion, is when we see the world through a curious lens, right? And the last one I want to touch on, because this is something that's very alive and very present in the world, it's one of the most inspiring things I talk about, is grief, right? And when we don't honor grief, right, we experience a deep level of shame. But the thing is that shame is the break, right? I learned this from my therapist. Shame is the break that encourages us to slow down so we don't do anything destructive. And sometimes we must experience the shame, because shame is oftentimes the bridge to love, right? And that's a more interesting gateway and state, right? Because grief is just love that has no place to go. So sometimes we have to feel that shame to recognize where we're not loving ourselves enough and where we can love others so we don't feel the shame from losing another person and wishing that we would have done something differently when they were alive. But do we not grieve every day when the sun goes down? Do we not give gratitude every day when the sun comes up? Right? Like when the sun goes down, the first question I ask is, am I complete with how I showed up today? Is anything unresolved? Is anything left unspoken that I wish I would have said to someone today? And I do it. That's my evening ritual. So when we look at it from that lens, right? There is no such thing as a wrong emotion. Emotions are just information for you. It's just information. It's a pathway. It's a bridge. It's an invitation.
Dude, you helped me so much love parts of myself that I've hated. That's why I think I like resonate with you so much. It's because these things that I've always thought were so wrong and a bad part of me, you teach me to look at them in a different way. And you allow me to love myself instead of hating myself for those things. And to honor them and to realize that I can utilize them. They can show me different things. They can take me different places. And that there's no such thing as them, those emotions being bad.
Yeah.
It's just a lot, man. That shit, like, you know, that is very... I've gotten so far to the side of love that I will hate I'll beat the shit out of myself when I don't act like love in every single moment. It's like I need to, and like through you, through Liz, you guys are helping me find this balance in my life because everything is balance. Everything. And I didn't really think that with love, honestly. I thought it's everything, you're all love or nothing. There's no balance there, you're just love. And I'm realizing there that we do live in this world. Things come up and happen. And that I need this balance of love too, because if I go so far to that side, I miss all of these things that you're talking about. I miss this experience. I resent myself for feeling resentment. I feel shame because I felt shame about something that was a part of me. And I know in such like a higher level that that doesn't serve me. I know that. I know when I have these thoughts about myself, I didn't show up in the most loving way or best way, or because I got aggravated at somebody or I had this negative thought towards somebody. That I don't need to kill myself for that when I have those moments. I think you're supposed to be love, man. What are you doing? And you are just giving me this clarity and realization of the balance between everything. Because again, I know that doesn't serve me at all to hate myself or resent myself. Like, what? That doesn't do anything good for me at all. It doesn't matter if it's like, hey, I think I should have acted in a certain way. Okay, I can have that acknowledgement and view that and see that and observe it and choose differently. But those negative, the ways that I feel about myself, they just don't serve me. As you were even talking about that too, like shame is like that bridge. So like in a sense, as I'm just saying this out loud too, I mean, everything is serving me if I see it that way.
Yeah.
And like that shame that I felt towards myself about my temper, that was the bridge over in feeling that. That was the bridge to honoring that side of me and loving that side of me. I had to actually be and feel and be with that shame in order to actually make that next step in that other direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, honestly, that's something that kind of, you know, hit me really deep on the retreat. And I remember sitting in the back being very judgmental, being very... therapist-y, because, you know, I'm a trained therapist in a lot of different disciplines. And, you know, as a reverend, I'm more of a counselor of sorts. And I was watching what was happening where, right, write down something that you carry shame for and just release it. And in that moment, I wanted to say something, but I didn't. And I felt shame for not speaking up, ironically. And that shame allowed me to be like, you know what? Everybody's on their path. So can I not love someone in this moment as I'm judging them to say, hey, they're doing their best. They only know what they know. And whatever comes out of this, it's all going to be okay because God has a plan bigger than mine. Right? God, universe, spirit, source, whatever ideation, right? Or connection to higher power, right? For people who are listening, when I speak of God, that's just my word, right? If you have your own word, the invitation is to come back home to that word as I'm speaking, because that's important too. And there's no superior form of creation to me. All right. Like when I look at the trees, I don't think humans are superior to trees because trees are the most symbolic plant that resembles humans. They're the only ones that stand so vertical and move with the wind. The only ones that whisper to one another and share their seed and plant it far and wide. How much different are they than us? Right? Without them, we couldn't breathe. Are they not more important? Just as important? Do they not experience shame when humans cut them down? Probably. When they're cut down, you look at the sap and you see the tears that run from the trees, right? They cry too. It just looks a little bit differently. So would we not be better, man? Like, because I know what you're saying, bro. I feel it so deeply, man, because I'm just, as you're speaking, I'm just remembering how much stuff I've carried over my entire life. Because I've done some terrible things, some really terrible things, and I own it. And I've made the amends that I can. I've asked for the mercy and for the grace necessary to choose to live another day instead of let it consume me. Because every day we have a choice. We can choose to live or we can choose to die. And those are just facts. And we don't know when we're going to die either, right? Like I wrote in my book that we don't experience birth. We don't experience death. So why is it that we live a life fearing something we don't actually experience? Because death is just a rebirth. The time we spend alive is a fraction compared to the amount of time we spend dead. When you look at the entire timeline of humanity. So why is it that we fear death so much? Why is it that we fear something we don't experience? And that fear is the very thing keeping us stuck in terror. And we're living in a world filled with terrorism, with wars and abuse and chaos and constructs and systematized control. Right? We all know what I'm talking about here. Right? Does it really surprise anybody that we have terrorism when there's so many people walking around in terror that are attracting it? Instead of choosing to live, which is a courageous act of breathing and feeling and moving and navigating through the world and connecting and putting our hearts out there for someone to potentially break one day. Man, I look back and I'm just like, I lost so much of my life in shame. And this is what I said on stage, right? Like shame will always bleed out sideways. And that blood turns into your shadow. And that shadow is like a hurricane behind you that you don't understand or see how much damage it's really doing. Right? And then you come out in the light and you're like, oh, I feel so great, right? We used to talk about this in AA. That we come out of our addiction, or we come out of our suffering, we come out of our depression, we come out of our anxiety, whatever you're experiencing. And we just expect the world behind us to be like, oh, I see you. Not realizing all the fucking destruction we left behind us. Not realizing that over there, we burned down a house. Over there, we broke someone's heart. Over there, we burned down something that could have been beautiful. And we can live in that shame, sure. But guess what it's going to do? It's going to recreate the opportunity to do it again and again and again until we look back and say, you know what? I don't agree with that. And I'm sorry. And I love you anyways. And next time I commit to doing better. Next time I'll be more loving, even if it's just 1% more. And that's grace. Right? Would we punish a kid for not knowing how to tie their shoes? No. We would just say, hey, little buddy, that's not how you do it. And I love you, but let me show you something right quick. Let me show you the loop, swoop, and pull. You like that reference? Y'all who are in the 30s, You guys know what I'm talking about. I don't know, like younger 20s. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but if you're in the 30s, got to see it, right? Big Daddy, Adam Sandler. That's a classic. That's one of my favorite movies to this day.
Seriously, so good. I remember when I was young and I watched that for the first time, I was like, this is amazing. This is the coolest thing ever.
Please help me find my mom.
That's what this is about, dude. That's what life is about. Having these like really deep, hard, dark conversations, brilliant ones, and then laughing in a moment. Just having a spark of joy, a spark of silliness, and not taking anything ever really too seriously, really. Let me just, I want to like break this down even more, right? So just like when we're talking about like these emotions that we deem bad or negative normally, right? That we know that are really not. What, and we kind of touch on this too. What is the idea that if you're feeling shame or you're feeling anger, to really, right, to be in that emotion, to feel those things, not run from them, be with them and allow them. And then do you think is the goal always to try to transform it to something that we deem positive, or is it okay to sit in those emotions for a certain period of time, a long period of time, for an indefinite period of time? You know, how do you feel about that?
First thing I'll say is there is no right or wrong. I am not one to determine or tell somebody how to live their life.
Yes.
Or what they should be doing. What I will say is that scientifically, it's been proven that emotions only typically last anywhere from 80 to 90 seconds. So I would say, and this is what I do for myself, right? I'll share what I do, what I try to do. And guess what? I'm not perfect. There's still a part of me that wants to punch a hole in the wall sometimes. And I got to go take a walk. And my 80 to 90 seconds turns into a 10-minute rage shit fit in the park, or I'm going into the room for 5 minutes and I'm screaming in a pillow, or I'm doing something to move the energy, because not all emotions are equivalent either. Based on your life experience, right? Your level 10 anger might be my level 2 anger, which means that my level 10 anger is fucking scary, right? It's my anger. Like, I was telling this to my therapist the other day. Like, anger is my baseline most of the time. And that's only because I only know so much. And I only know a certain way because that's how I had to grow up in the world to feel safe. Right? When I'm angry, I'm safe. That's the belief I adopted a long time ago. Because when I'm angry, ain't nobody touching me. Ain't nothing hurting me. Ain't nothing breaking me today. Right? And I have to and choose to see that as a gift. Because if it were not for this anger, I wouldn't be the man I am today. I wouldn't be looking out into the world and saying, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. That is just unjust beyond measure. There is no reason this should be happening to women and children. There is no reason that people should be dying because of the false tyrants and warlords who only have profit in mind. And it's because of that anger that I'm able to create brilliant shit. Right? Anger is the fire. The fire is both the creational and the destruction of humanity. Right? Fire either creates or it destroys. It's the creational element of me, right? And my water, right? And I like to look at things through the elemental lens, right? My water is something that brings that fire down a little bit, right? I don't douse it, right? But I use my water and my emotions, right? To help pave the way for the fire so that way nobody gets burned, right? It's like the waterway. Right, that creates a canal of myself, of my emotions, of my experience. So that way, when there's a fire that's burning, right, there's a safe passage through it. Right? I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. Dude, if you're going to keep going.
No, all I was going to say is like, be with it, feel it, and have the awareness and the discernment of how to move it. And when you don't move it effectively, or in a quote unquote healthy way, give yourself grace, but don't forget to make amends so you don't carry that shit. Right? That's what I was going to say.
Dude, one of the things I feel like is so powerful about you and who you are is that kind of in that example that you were just talking about, your pain and your darkness and the addiction and all these things that you experienced throughout your entire life, it is beautiful. You needed all those to become who you are today. And it's beautiful that you've used all that to transform them into the version you are today. But most importantly, in the work that you're doing and the amount of people that you're helping on an insane level, I feel like. Like I cannot even, it's hard to express how much love and respect and how proud I am of you and just like how blown away I am by you that you're able to have used that darkness into something so powerful and so healing and so helpful. Like I love you so much for that. It hits me in my heart and my soul. I just like, I don't know, man. You bring like a, it's like a special feeling in me where I'm like, dude, this, you know, he's been through a lot. And look at the beautiful person you are. And it just, it touches me on such a level that you're able to use that for such good now.
Mm. Thank you, man. Mm. Thank you so much. Thank you for seeing me. And I can only hope that, and this is kind of where we're coming back, because I want to address this because we talked about it earlier, that in the world of the extremes, right? The world of the extremes and looking at men and women and, you know, all the others today, it's really challenging for me at least. And I'd love to know your perspective, right? Because it's like, it's all love or nothing, right? And it's so hard for me sometimes, man, to just like look at people and be like, oh no, I love you. It's like, no, but I really don't like you. I really just don't like you as a person, right? Not you. I love you, bro. Like there are some people I come into contact with and it's that like extremism. It's that transactionalism. It's the, what some people might call narcissism, right? But let's be very clear. Not everybody who hurt you is a narcissist, right? Narcissists and codependents coexist. It's actually a fundamental experience we must have to become better people. It's an invitation. It's an offering. I just want to plant that seed. And when I see the extremism and the transactionalism, it's like, man, do you really want me or do you just want my product? Right? Do you really want the person I am or do you just want the thing that I can sell? Right? Or do you just want the thing that can solve your problems? Right? Do you really want me or you want my money? And if you come at me like that, I don't really like you. And I love myself enough to honor that because I know how vampirism works in today's world. And when people are on the receiving end of that, it turns into like anti-love really quick, right? Now we see cancel culture. Now we see, oh man, you preach this and you practice this and blah, 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 blah. But then because I don't agree with something or because I choose not to like or participate in a program that is not in alignment or congruent with who I am, that therefore makes me an asshole. Is that true? Right? It's like, and I don't know where we're going with this, but like the extremism of people, man, and the duality, the separation, the manipulation and coercion that happens, man. Like, how can we as people, as men too, right? Like man to man, how can we still love somebody but not like somebody? I'm super curious because I'm still trying to figure that shit out and I don't have it figured out at all. And I don't want to be cutthroat and I don't want to be mean. I'm actually wanting to be better. I'm coming as a student right now. You know what I'm saying?
So this is awesome. And I feel like maybe people wouldn't expect me to say this. It's okay to not like everybody. Like, that's all right. That is just like a part of kind of nature. We're all very different. We're all not going to align. We're all not going to see things the exact same way. It is okay. There's people out there that I don't agree with, that I don't maybe necessarily like the way that they conduct themselves or act or do certain things. Like a lot of, yeah. So, for me, I'll just speak, you know, what's worked for me is that when I'll see these people that I don't align so much with, I also don't care. I want that person to be who they are, to live as they live. Why do I care who you are or how you are or how you be? If you feel like that's what's truly making you happy and it doesn't actually hurt somebody, I can still have love for you. I cannot like even how you show up, but I can still have empathy for you, because when someone shows up in a really dark, and it's like when somebody shows up and acts in a way that we know does not align with who we are, that we know is like, I don't believe really in right and wrong, but in a sense in this world that is wrong, it's not condoning their actions. It's understanding that they are so far removed from source. They are so far removed from love. That is how they're acting in this way. And I have empathy for those people. I know when I've been at my worst, I was not in a good place. So when I see that in someone else, to me, it's like them waving the white flag of, hey, I am hurting over here. I am in pain. I am suffering in some way, even if it doesn't seem that way. And then just allowing them to be who they are from a distance, like for real, that's like a part of it too, just having space from that person. Like, I don't agree with you, but I can still have empathy and love for you. You still are a human struggling, crying, trying, going through the shit. Like you. And then, so from my perspective, I still just love that person. You know what I mean? It's because I don't want them to change. I have no desire for them to be different. For me in the past, a reason why I would not love people is because I did totally disagree with them, and because I thought how they were was bullshit. And I thought they should change. And I thought they were living in a complete wrong way, deemed how I thought that they should live. And I just don't feel that way anymore. It's like, that's you and your life. It in reality has nothing to do with me unless you're hurting me or people. It has really nothing to do with me. And just creating, you know what I mean? It's almost like not that they don't exist, but it's like, I can choose what I focus on. And I can choose to focus on you and how shitty or how bad you are. Or I can choose to just have empathy and love for you. Understand that you're human going through things. That you most times are really trying your best based on your baseline, where you're coming from. Your experience is what you know. Like, someone's best may to us be like, how could that be your best? But maybe that actually is their best. Them trying in the best way that they can. And that's what it is, just having an understanding, man. Like, we're all different. We all come from completely different lives and experiences. Even like a sibling, you have lived very different lives. Every single intricate moment, every literally like millisecond, stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks to who we are and how we show up in the world. And of course, those billions and billions of stacks, they're going to be different. And understanding that and honoring the difference in us as well too. When I see someone who disbelieves or believes in something different than me, I used to hate them. Now I get curious. I'm more curious of their upbringing, who they are, what has led to these beliefs. And again, I think it's really important in this situation too, we're not saying I'm condoning those things. Those people that I think are not upholding love or are not being kind or genuine or empathetic or all these beautiful emotions, these beautiful ways to step through life, even when they're acting in that way, it's just allowing them to be. Because Nate, there's people who think that we're living life completely wrong.
And
who may hate us, right? Like, seriously though, that may not like us at all. And they may have no love for us. That's okay too. That's their choice and their decision. It's having this complete release of controlling somebody else, of expecting someone else to be a certain way, to conform to the way that I think that they're supposed to be or how I would ideally like them to be. It's just releasing any sort of attachment to how someone's ever supposed to show up. Mm. And understanding that they are God, just like you are, Nate, just like I am, they're God. They are too. So like, for me, it just doesn't feel good when I don't love them, to be honest with you. For me, in my own realm and self and being, it doesn't feel good for me when I'm not loving this other aspect of God. And of course I have moments, like I'm not special. I'm not like, I need to make that very clear too. I have moments of anger towards somebody, of resentment, of all these emotions, you know, I have these as well. But when I can take a breath and take a step back, I am able just to release those. I love that, to like, right? And not liking somebody, but loving them. And that's something that took me a very long time to get to. And not even get to, but it's a very long time for me to start to be able to love them even though I don't like them.
Mm. Man, I appreciate you so much. I mean, dude, this is something I battle with, right? Like, I'm not perfect, man. At all. Like, I'm great at loving myself. Loving other people, a little bit different, right? I've had a rough background. It's hard for me to just immediately be able to love someone, right? And I know there's a lot of people like that, which is why I asked you, right? Like, as you know, when I get time with you, I'm like, man, how does this guy love so much? Like, I'm in almost like disbelief, right? Because I'm like, does a love like that truly exist? And how does he do it, right? And like, because I see how magnetic you are and I see how magnetic people work. And the most magnetic people are the ones who can do what you just said. It's the ones who can zoom out, release their expectation of themselves, of other people, to see the God in other people as they are God in themselves. And then to just exercise empathy, bro. Like, I've never seen empathy as like an emotion, right? Because I'm like, how do I experience or feel empathy? Is there something wrong with me for not like feeling empathy? Right? For not being sympathetic for people's pain, for just like having this rigid approach to life in a lot of ways. And I come in and I almost like shame myself. You're like, no, I should be able to feel empathy. I should be able to feel other people. What I'm hearing now is that empathy is just love in action. Like, that's really all it is. And I'm just like mind blown right now. I'm like, cool. I'm gonna sit with this, right? I'm getting just as much here as I'm sure. As much as I hope everybody else is getting on the receiving end of this.
Like, I can even use it. Yeah. Dude, I love you, man. I can even use this as an example. Like, Nate, you're somebody who you don't like, you can't find love for. And that's very opposite of me. I could see you, Nate, and be like, ah, fuck Nate, man. I don't, you know, he's not like me. He can't love everybody like I can. Like, I don't want to, that's wrong. But it's like, I have nothing but love for you, Nate. I love you. And I don't want to control at all who you are. And I understand, and you just said it too, based off of your past experiences, the things that you've gone through, it's difficult for you to do that. So I just have empathy and love for you. I have no judgment towards you whatsoever. It makes me like love you more, honestly, because I see this, like, I see this part of you that I know it seems like in a way you want to maybe shift a little bit. And I see there's a little pain in like your thoughts towards yourself about how you handle or look at people and in the situation. Mm. You know, and just in that right there, I guess it's easy because it's you and I have so much love for you anyway. But if there was like that, like said that, I would still be like, oh, I feel you. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, and for me, I'm like, that's a tough place to be where it's hard to love people. And I don't hate you or judge you for that. I literally love you more and I have empathy for you that you're in that place. And there's nothing wrong with being in that place at all. This is a part of your journey and who you're becoming. It's amazing. But that's what it is. And not thinking that you should be a certain way, Nate, not being like, nah, Nate, you should love people. Right off the bat, man. The people you don't like, you should love. It's like, no, not honestly, like,
way to get
all
into a sketchy situation really quick.
But for real, right? It's like not that. It's just like allowing you to be, man, and just loving you regardless, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I appreciate that, right? Because it's we're all human, right? And I know we got to wrap up here, right? We're all human. We're all working on ourselves in some type of way. And that really helps me, right? Because like selfishly, I wanted to get something out of this conversation too, right? Like, I'm here to learn. I'm here to be curious. I'm looking at somebody who loves so deeply and I'm like, man, how do I love people more, right? I wrote a whole damn book on how to love yourself to where you choose to live instead of take your life. Right. So now how can I be more of that? Right. Cause I have the same thing you do where it's like, man, I really don't like that. I don't love people in this way. Like, I want to find a way to love them. So I've been asking everybody, like everybody who I see who is magnetic, and that's, you know, for who's listening, right? Like, find somebody who has what you want and ask them how they do it. Right. That is like the shortcut to life. That's the cheat code to life. Like, instead of being in judgment, it's like, find the people who have what we want and ask them, how did you get it? Right? Like, I look at people in recovery rooms and sobriety centers, and it's like, man, how did you get 33 years being sober? That is longer than I've been alive. How do you do it? And man, they said it came down to three things. Trust God, clean house, stay committed. That's it. It's that easy. And be fucking authentic. Just be authentic. Like, yeah, this, yeah, we're going to have another conversation, man.
I know. We have to talk quickly, though, about the book. So, Nate, you wrote this book in 5 days. Was that the amount of days? 3, 4, 5, 6? So what was it?
5 days in September.
I don't even understand. We need to talk more about that too. How is that possible? Can you, in like a very short period of time, 30 seconds, how is that possible? How did you do that?
I hired a coach and publisher. I worked with her for 6 months. And I went to Sun Valley, Idaho for 5 days in an author immersion. And we channeled the book in 5 days. And for the last 6 months, I've been going through the 3 rounds of editing, the designing, the formatting. And as of yesterday, officially published, and it's now listed as the number one new release on Amazon in the self-help and suicide category.
Incredible. The book is Between Two Worlds, an atlas for navigating the complexities of life, death, and suicide. You're such a magical, powerful human being, man. You are just like the things that you had to go, that you went through in your life, the addiction, the suicidal thoughts, all this. It's like, it's easy for me to be grateful for it because I see what's come from it. But just to see who you are today, man, I know I don't want to speak for you, but I am just like grateful for your experiences because look what came. Look at the beautiful flower that bloomed from the shit in the dirt. Really?
Oh, shit in the dirt for real.
Definitely check out Nate's book. We're going to put it in the show notes. Nate, I got to ask you real quick the question I ask every single guest on the podcast. So with Spread Love Movement Me, what I am most lit up about in life is helping shift the collective consciousness of the planet to one that is more loving, peaceful, empathetic, open, accepting, forgiving, a consciousness that is one. That's why I love having conversations like this, because it opens people up to new things, new ideas, new perspectives. It allows us to love each other deeper. So Nate, how do you feel like every day you are helping and contributing to this sort of a shift of consciousness?
Every day it's different. And every day I give myself permission to be different. And today, man, what I'm bringing into the world is hope. Right? Like, hope is not a beggar. Hope is sometimes the only resource we have that gets us through the day. And today I'm a hope dealer, not a drug dealer, not a dope dealer. Right? Today I'm going to be a hope dealer. Today I'm going to inspire hope. Today I'm going to inspire change. Today I'm going to inspire love. I'm going to inspire something that I'm still trying to learn how to do, bro. I'm trying to inspire myself to learn how to love better. Right? So I'm going to go out in the world and I'm going to learn it by doing it, by being it. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it. That's what I'm going to do today.
Yes. I love that. Not just talk about it, not just say it, to be it. That's all that matters, is who we're being. Who gives a shit what we have to say? Who are we being and how are we showing up in the world? Like, really though, everybody.
Ironically, dude, on a podcast. Who gives a shit what we have to say?
But for real, check out me and Nate. If we're not upholding to things that we're saying, this is all meaningless. It's all worthless. You know what I mean? Like, these things can be super helpful. But every person I listen to, I try to get a more of an understanding of like who you actually are in life. Mm-hmm. I can even take keys and things from the things that you say or how people talk, but I want to know who you actually are. I don't want to know about your religion. I don't want to know about your beliefs. I want to know who you are, how you take steps every single day, how you're showing up in the world, how you're treating a stranger, how you're treating your children, how you just are. Is what is truly important. And the thing is, like, I guess I can say that because I know, Nate, who you are. I know who I am. So I know that these words are backed up and have true meaning and validity to them. Mm-hmm. But that's important in life, everybody. Just like understand who people are, how they're showing up in the world. That's what's truly important. The experience, who they are, is really what matters. And Nate, dude, I love you, bro. You're like, you are on the fact you're asking people how to be more loving, the fact you're even thinking about it, your awareness is on it, you're doing it, you're in it. And like saying it to you, I'm saying it to myself. There's no need for us to feel resentment or bad feelings towards ourselves. If I get the emotion of a temper that comes up, or if you aren't as loving as you think you should be to that next person, there's just no need for us to hate on ourselves. Understanding we're on this path, we're aware of this, we are actively making this change in ourselves, and that's the best that we can do. And knowing that since we're on the path, we're gonna walk in that direction. We're on it. That's like one of my things. I'm like, we're on the path, beautiful. Who cares how long it takes to get there? Who cares how long the obstacles in the way? We're on it. Eventually, we will change and we will start to feel these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, bro, if sir. Before we go, if you can please let everybody know where they can find you online, social media, please throw out the name of the book one more time on Amazon, I'm sure, or where people can get it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Deep, deep gratitude for having me. Thank you to everyone who has stayed all the way up until now. And now you can find me at Nathan Kollerman. You can have the book Between Two Worlds on Amazon, an atlas for navigating the complexities of life, death, and suicide. You're going to have to type in Between Two Worlds and my name, Nathan Kollerman. It's number 4 on the bestseller. It's already number 1 on new releases. And any support is greatly appreciated. And more importantly, if you know someone in your life who is struggling, get them this book. Right. I read my own book in the last 6 months in my darkest of moments because I've been going through it. My own words have been getting me through my pain because it wasn't me who wrote it. It was God moving through me and into my hands to pen the words on the pages. So you can find me at Nathan Kollerman, literally everywhere. Whatever social media you have, I probably have it too. Big, big love. Bless your beautiful lives. Back to you.
Yes. Thank you for just sharing that about your book and that you yourself have been in some darkness over the last 6 months. And it's like humbling and beautiful too, reading your own book to help you through that because it didn't come from you. It came from God through you. And those words can help anybody. And I'm grateful. And I think it's just beautiful in yourself that you're able to see that and use your book for you literally to help yourself. Like that's just, and to see it in a sense that didn't even come from you is just, is profound, man. It's awesome. I love that you're doing that.
Yeah. Thank you, man. And yeah. Big praises to my mom. She's why I wrote it. And about 6 months ago was the anniversary of her passing, 1 year. And I wrote this for her so that way her legacy could live through my words. So if anybody should be honoring anybody, we should be anyone and everyone honoring her and my father. Right? Without them, be the man I am today. So all praise to the elders.
So much love for your mom. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. She lived her life, man. She knew how to party, bro. Like, I'm just now coming to that out of this 6 month darkness thing. And man, I just have so much gratitude for her life. Please do not be sorry. And man, celebrate the fuck out of her. Yeah. You know, instead of being sorry, celebrate her life, man. Celebrate that she has a son like me, that she's a grandmother to my 4 children. That, you know, before she passed, she put a hand on my son. And that was one of her final touches, man. And she touched my son. She touched my life. And she's touched so many lives through this book. She's going to touch even more lives, right? So please don't be sorry. Like, celebrate her, please. She was a warrior, man.
What an incredibly beautiful way to describe death and life. Like, really, that was...
Death is just a new beginning, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Death is just a new beginning. And it's not to bypass the pain that comes with death or grief.
Yes.
It's feeling it and then coming to the realization that, yo, I love my mom so much. I love that person so much. And instead of feeling sorry for myself, I'm going to choose to celebrate her because I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And in that, I'm going to celebrate my life every day. Life is a fucking ceremony. And it doesn't have to be a ceremony with mala beads and all these weird clothes. It can be just a celebration of life every day, bro. Like, life can be a party. With reverence.
Thank you for giving us the permission to feel this way. Seriously, because in any moment I hear of death, I have those thoughts. Let's celebrate them. Be grateful for how you can even feel this pain. And it's easy for me to say I haven't lost a parent. But I love that you see it in that sense, that it's how hard, how much you hurt is in direct correlation with how grateful and how beautiful your life with her was, or you wouldn't feel this pain. Mm-hmm. So thank you for giving me the permission, to everyone listening right now, to view it in this way. That was so beautiful. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not everybody's there, right? Like, I have not been there. I just got to this point after like a year and a half, and tomorrow that might change. But today, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. I love you, bro. Thank you for today. I love you too, man.
Of course. Everybody, we love you so much. Please check out Nate, DM him. He really is just a beautifully authentic soul. Like, that's one of the things. I know we talked about authenticity. Dude, it runs through you. And if you're struggling out there, if you're in a dark place or know someone who is, or know that it's even possible for you to be in a dark place, we all are. That's the thing. It's like, you don't need to wait to be in a dark place to like check out Nate's book. You know what I mean? It can help us now. Mm. Everybody, thank you for being here. We love you so much. If you feel like in any way, shape, or form, Nate can be of guidance, if his book can help you in the slightest way, check it out. Reach out to Nate. Get his book. It's like, when we say these things, it's for the betterment of everyone listening. Like, I don't say go get Nate's book. So I'm like, okay, because I mean, I love Nate, but it's not for Nate. It's for you guys. You know what I mean? It's like truly, it's truly for everyone who's listening. And like, profoundness comes in books and perspective shifts. And like, Nate is great at that. Nate can, that's one of the things too, man. You are brilliant in the way that you describe certain things that I've never heard in a way before. And it's touched me in certain ways that I never was able to receive before. So it's hit me in different ways, allowed me to change my perspective in different ways and see things in different ways that I was never able to see before. Words that you say and how you say them. Mm. So yes, if you feel like it can help you at all, anyone you know, check it out. Love you guys out there so much. Thank you for being here for another episode, buddy. I cannot wait to talk to you again and see you again. Thank you for taking this time with me. Thank you for just showing up, being authentic, and be the beautiful person that you are.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure's all mine. Bless your beautiful lives.
Everybody, we'll see you next time. Love you.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.